Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today's guest in part one of a two-part conversation, our regular guest, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Well, John, it's been a rough season as we're entering September here in a few days. And, you know, I think back to when I was in the minor leagues, and I was really fortunate. I was calling play-by-play for a couple of teams that won championships. So that's a great thrill. And, of course, you know, you've been around covering the Giants for a long time in Bay Area baseball, and you've seen the Giants win three World Series. Now, going back to in my minor league career, after I was in Rochester in 1997, and we won the title, the International League title, after that, the teams that I was a part of calling games, they were 25, 30 games out of first place, just the whole summer, knowing your team is not in contention, which, you know, it's not a lot of fun, no matter what level it is. And that's what's happened here with the Giants. And the only intrigue, really, is to see kind of, you know, as you gauge players for next year, how do you evaluate them? And to me, that's kind of what we're looking at right now. Every day you watch the Giants, and you're always keeping an eye on what's going to happen in 2018.
It is a very unique year. You know, you talk about your history. Well, mine, you know, I'm from the Bay Area, but I started covering the Padres in the mid-80s. 84 World Series, that was in San Diego. But then the team got bad in a hurry, and the year I left, the last couple of years before I did leave, you know, Larry Boa took over. They were just awful. He was the first-year manager, and, you know, he got thrown out every other day, and it was just a tough situation. Then I returned to the Bay Area, and that's when, you know, the A's and Giants moved into their World Series together in 89, and Giants were coming off the 87 division title, and the A's got there to the World Series in 88 and got upset by the Dodgers, and three straight over there, and then there was a little downturn. Now, I also covered a lot of bad teams. I mean, you know, I mentioned the Padres, but Roger Craig's last year in San Diego, San Francisco, rather, 92, very depressing when the team was virtually out the door to Tampa Bay, and the 07 team, Bonds' last year, when it was all about the record and not about winning, that was, you know, beyond the pursuit of Bonds, kind of a depressing year. And the A's have gone over, you know, some rough times. I've been on both sides of the Bay. You know, maybe the best team I covered might have been that 93 Dusty Baker team with 103 wins. And it wasn't even a playoff team.
But a great year.
Why is that the best team I covered? I mean, I covered three championships. I covered all those A's teams. And I must say, the 89 A's were probably better than those 93 Giants. But still, that Baker team just had it all, pitching, defense, a great lineup. And it was before the wild card, and they won 103 games and didn't make the playoffs. And then right after that, they introduced the wild card. But yeah, you're right. This team, you look at the standings, they're 40 games out of first place. And nobody's close to that in baseball. I mean, there's a couple of 30s, and, you know, in terms of last place teams, there's 21. There's, you know, you go to the NL Central, the last place team is 15 and a half out. And it's like, whoa, you can't even imagine how far the Giants are back. And they're six games behind the Padres, who are terrible.
Right.
The only team they can beat is the Giants. The only team they score runs against is the Giants. They don't score runs at all until the Giants come to town. So it's a unique season. And you're right, it's more about, at this point, for a long time, it's been about this. Buster Posey told me at the All-Star break, it's about momentum going into the next year. Who says that at the All-Star break? already given up on 17 and looking into 18, but he was right. It was early July, and it was all then. It was all about gaining momentum going into next year, because this year certainly is lost.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your SunPower solar system today. Well, if you're going to be an optimist, you can look at recent history. It seems like a lot of teams have been able to bounce back pretty quickly. I mean, you look at the Red Sox, they were down in the cellar, and next thing you know, they're winning the World Series, and then they're back down in the cellar. I mean, it seems like some teams can be up and down. The Yankees, you know, last year they weren't a playoff team. They were selling pieces, and now they're trying to get into the postseason. And the Astros, for a while there, they were losing 100 games. Now they're one of the best teams in baseball. So, I mean, it's amazing how quickly it can go from being a contender, which the Giants thought they would be this year, to the cellar, and then going back up.
Yeah, and I think the two biggest examples that I've covered with the Giants is, as I mentioned, the 92 team with Roger Craig, then 93 with Dusty Baker. They go from just a terrible team, and they're out the door, they're going to Florida, the attendance is bad, everyone's depressed because they're leaving. And then Baker comes in. Well, they also signed Barry Bonds. We got to throw that in. MVP, middle-of-the-lineup guy, just turned a team around, and a lot of the same guys who were in the 92 team, you know, became 93 stars and all gold gloves all around the horn. It was a great year in San Francisco. And the other example, of course, going from 96 to 97, last place at 96, Sabian takes over. And unlike that 92-93 development improvement, it was more about wholesale changes, getting rid of Matt Williams, bringing in Kent, a lot of other guys, you know, JT Snow and Kent and this guy, Ano, and they basically had a whole new team at 97. And those were two drastic turnarounds. Now, if you compare either of those to what's going on now, maybe Stanton is your Bonds, but I think it's more about going 96 to 97. I mean, that 96 team had a bunch of AAA guys, all the main guys beyond Bonds, who did his 40-40 that year. They were all hurt. So, I mean, you can kind of blame this season on injuries with Bumgarner and Cueto and Melanson. I mean, those and Will Smith, those are four guys they really were going to lean on this year. And Bumgarner fell off the bike, and Smith we haven't seen because of Tommy John, Melanson with the elbow, and Cueto with the blisters, and those are four key guys that they didn't have for much of the year. And so I'm gathering that they're thinking that with those four guys, they'll be a much improved club next year.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website, www.terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs. Well, one thing that usually happens if you're going to be an improved club is usually you make some changes. I mean, so far, you know, the Giants traded Eduardo Nunez, and that was good. They got a couple prospects out of that. But I think for a general manager and for all of the fake general managers out there, fans who want to be general managers, everybody kind of looks at it near the end of the season and says, okay, who's got to go? You know, who stays and who's got to go? And one of the guys really at the top of the list that people are talking about is Matt Moore, because he's been so inconsistent. His record is terrible. You know, his ERA is 5.5. But I have to say that I say he stays. And, you know, a lot of it, of course, has to do with his contract, because he's relatively cheap, but also because he has great stuff, John. It's still sort of a mystery how inconsistent he's been, and you get the feeling that he could turn it around. I mean, he could be that guy who almost threw a no-hitter against the Dodgers last year. You know, he's had little runs this year where he's had success, you know, a few starts in a row, and then all of a sudden he slips back. So to me, you can't give up on him. How do you feel about him, and are there any guys that you just absolutely say, you know, this guy's got to go?
Well, I tend to agree with you there, because he is in his prime years. He's a left-hander, and he has a club-friendly contract. I mean, those three elements, most any team in the majors would take. However, he's got a 5.49 ERA. He's got 13 losses. He's given up a league-high 94 earned runs. So for every good thing you could say about him, you can just throw the stats right back at you.
Right.
Say, well, wait a minute. And, you know, fans like to live and die off of today's game or yesterday's game. But when you step back, his three previous starts were awfully good. I mean, awfully encouraging, impressive enough for this team to say, okay, maybe we figured this out. And it started okay in San Diego. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's making the wrong pitches. He's looking at the wrong base on after picking up a bunt. And is his mind there? I'm not sure, but the mechanics haven't been, and he's addressed that. You know, he talks after starts about the issues he's battling, and a lot of it is mechanical. And, you know, that's where Rigetti comes in. That's why he makes the big bucks, and Bochy and these guys, Dick Tidrow, trying to figure him out. And a lot of it has to come from him, how badly he wants it, how badly he's going to work in the offseason, how badly he's going to work down the stretch here to figure it out. And, you know, you look at the contract, you say, well, it's team friendly. Well, in this day and age, he's making $9 million next year. And if he's around in 19, he makes $10 million. And for a middle of the rotation starter, for a lefty who has shown signs of success over the years, far removed from his Tommy John surgery, you know, that's a team-friendly contract. And for a team that is going to have to make some serious changes or serious upgrades, however you want to call it, maybe this is a guy they could just say, you know what, we'll bring him back because, you know, the rotation shouldn't be our main problem next year. I'm guessing they're going to come back with the same rotation and hoping everyone's healthy and effective. And that's Bumgarner and Cueto at the top and Samardzija, who's pitching well lately, and Moore. And then Ty Block, who, you know, up until recently has pitched very well, maybe the most consistent guy in the rotation, you know, because Samardzija only lately has really turned it on. So when you look at this rotation, you say, well, man, there's some struggle, there's some injuries, but these are the guys they have, and these are the guys I think they're going to rely on next year, whether you like it or not.
You do have to make some tough decisions. I mean, for me, even though you have some players that have been around, they're stand-up guys, you know, that's one thing I really like about Matt Moore. He'll talk. I mean, he'll talk to the media. He's always going to be up front with you. But there are three players on this team that I say they got to go, even though I like them. But I just think they have to go, whether it be, you know, releasing them or they don't play as much. But Hunter Strickland is somebody to me who's got to be traded. He's got a great arm. But he's just never developed into a consistent relief pitcher. You know, you would have thought by now he would have taken over the role as closer or you know, before they got Melanson, or setup man. He's not even any of those. So to me, he's got to go. Pablo Sandoval, he's, you know, he's not going to help you from the right side. And it's kind of like I'm past Pablo Sandoval. And Hunter Pence, to me, Hunter Pence is past his prime as a regular. Now, I think he could be a valuable bench guy, but I just can't keep throwing him out there every day next year. Those are the three guys for me. Do you have any? You don't even have to have, you know, a specific guy, but is there a certain type of player that you're saying, you know, really can't stay on this team?
So Brandon Belt's not on your list.
He is not on my list because he's still, I think he could, if he's healthy, he hits 30 home runs.
Well, yeah, at least 20, which this team doesn't have.
Right.
He still leads the team in home runs. We haven't seen him for a month.
Yeah, so 25 to 30 if he's healthy and he has a good year, right.
Good on base. Hey, as I've heard from other general managers around baseball when I ask them about Brandon Belt, they say you can't blame Brandon Belt for the team's woes. In other words, they don't look at him as a 3-4 hitter. They look at him as a 7 hitter. And when you look at him as a 7 hitter, with that on-base percentage, with that pop, with that gap-to-gap power, that's pretty good. So you don't blame him. You blame the team for not having a 3-4-5 guy so that he can fit into his element of playing, you know, great defense, you know, drawing a walk, getting on base, you know, continuing to get the line moving. And the Giants, unfortunately, other than Posey, don't have anybody who's a 3-4-5 hitter. And that's why you're in the mess that you're in. But you talk about three guys. I mean, I don't think Belt would be on my list realistically because he's making too much money next year. His contract really goes up from this year to next. But, yeah, I would agree with you with Strickland and – He just walks too many guys, and I'm not sure it was good for morale that he threw at Bryce Harper.
No.
Got everyone on the team involved. Well, not everyone. Buster Posey didn't really run out there
right.
to prevent Harper from fighting Strickland. But you know, Samardzija and Morse bump heads at that moment. And Morse hasn't played since and won't play. That didn't go over well. It really hasn't been a good clubhouse vibe in the wake of that. So maybe just for a change of scenery, that would be okay. When you talk about Pence, you know, it's not like he can move his contract. It's a $90 million 5-year deal. He's coming up on the very end of it. But what about this? What about a Pence span semi-platoon?
That might work.
You can't get rid of either. In other words, you keep him healthy, you keep him fresh. It doesn't have to be a straight platoon. Pence can play against some right-handers, but don't play either every day.
Right.
And
I like it.
When Pence plays, he'll play right. When Span plays, he'll play left. And then you get a guy who plays both corners on the days that, you know, one of those guys doesn't play. So who is it? I don't know, but I don't even know if they have that guy. And they certainly don't have the center fielder that they need. So with what I'm saying, Pence and Span semi-platoon, you still need two other outfielders.
Right.
And I don't know if either of them is on the roster right now. So you need a stud center fielder, which you don't have, and you need maybe a corner guy. So that's two ideas, Strickland and then that semi-platoon. Third one, the thing about Sandoval is he hasn't embarrassed himself.
No,
he's
not at all.
Played good defense. He's hitting in the mid-200s. Every once in a while, he gets a big hit. He brings energy to the clubhouse and dugout, which management has said is a valuable commodity for him. But listen, if you bring the whole band back together, you're going to repeat yourself. So if you can get that stud center fielder or a corner guy who can hit 25, 30 home runs, then maybe you can have a Sandoval. But if you don't have that guy, maybe you need to go out and get a big slugger and stick him at third base because you're not going to get 20 home runs out of Sandoval.
No.
In my opinion. I think that ship has sailed. But if you want a guy who's going to come on the cheap because Boston's paying all that money, and makes close to the minimum and fill a hole and play every day, then he's your guy. But if you want a big bopper because you don't have anybody in the outfield and you need to stick that big bopper at third, then you move Sandoval or don't bring him back.
I think one of the problems is that you have probably seven hitters in this lineup, including Sandoval. You mentioned Belt, that are kind of, they'd be okay in another team that was winning and it was a good lineup. You throw one of those guys in there in another lineup and it's fine. But when you have seven of those players and they're in your lineup, then it doesn't really work out too well.
You're saying they have seven number seven hitters.
Right. Seven guys that are good pieces to have. But
seven somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
Except for Posey, of course.
Right.
And you can rip Posey all you want. He's not hitting home runs. He's not collecting RBIs. But he's got his second best OPS in his career, and lower than just his MVP season. So he's hitting for average. He's getting on base. He has a slugging percentage. I just don't think he's getting the opportunities he used to have because guys aren't on base in front of him and guys aren't protecting him. As you know, the year he won an MVP, he had Melky Cabrera, who hit in the 340s, 350s, and then he had the drug bust and we didn't see him in the playoffs. But at the end of that year, they had Marco Scudero, who showed up and was on base every time he came to the plate, and Hunter Pence, who was an RBI machine, hitting in the middle of the lineup. So he had protection then. He has no protection now. So let's not run Buster Posey out of town. I mean, with a better lineup, you'd see, I think, more home runs because they can afford to pitch around him because nobody's hitting behind him. And you'd see a lot more RBIs because there'd be a lot more RBI situations.
Yeah, I think it's been an impressive season for him. When you consider how frustrated he must be, I mean, usually he's around a team that's in contention, and this is the first time he's got to deal with that. I think a player learns a lot about himself, and the way he's conducted himself has been fantastic, and you know, and the performance has been really good, other than the fact, like you said, the numbers aren't there without runners on base as much or protection or anything like that. The only time he got out of character was on that hit by pitch, which, honestly, John, I just thought was ridiculous on his part. I have to give him credit for everything that he does in the Giants, but in this case, I was not on his side, and I understood the frustration of getting drilled by Neris on that pitch. You know, he's angry about it, and maybe he reacted, but when he continued to talk about it in the clubhouse, I just wasn't on board with it, because why would Neris hit him? First pitch, he's the go-ahead run, you know, in that game against the Phillies, puts the tying runs in scoring position. I just didn't think that you could go ahead and accuse him of that without really good, there really wasn't a good back to that.
And Bochy really didn't put out the flames the next day when
no.
he called Neris an idiot.
No, I know.
The guy's an idiot, he says.
Yeah.
And speaking of out of character, you know, both Posey and Bochy, yeah, that's the epitome of frustration right there. Two guys who go out of character to rip a guy or accuse a guy of something that most people might think was an innocent act. And speaking about a character, I think you can mention a couple other things. Wasn't this season when Posey kind of, with his body language, called out Brandon Belt one time for not covering first base?
Yeah.
Another time for not scoring from second base on a hit. Kind of some long-distance words.
I don't have a problem with that, actually.
In the high-five line, words exchanged up close. So it's been a frustrating year for Posey. He is used to winning. I mean, this is Derek Jeter West.
Right.
A guy who just showed up and started winning titles right away. And a big reason the titles were won was because of him, just like Jeter. And Jeter never went through a year like this. And Posey is going through a year like this. And you're seeing the frustration develop and show on the field. And Posey's always been reserved and constrained when it comes to showing emotion, whether it's a strikeout or a home run or anything. And this year is totally different. And that's another example.
That's part one of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again on Friday for part two. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.